Yo.
Yo.
How's your day been?
Great, great, lovely. You?
Mine's been absolutely splendid.
That's great.
Welcome back, everybody, back to Imagination Creates. And today we have a special guest and fellow friend, Chris.
What's up,
Chris, if
Kev?
you'd like to introduce yourself.
My name's Chris. I draw things on the computer. I guess that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very talented at art. But yeah.
Nerdist.
All right. So we have lived with art being the forefront of our lives and technology and even possibly the purpose of many or most people's lives. So it's interesting to say the least what it would be like without art. So the question today is for you guys is what is your definition of art?
Who's going first?
Chris, you could go first since you're our guest.
I mean, it's honestly like a difficult question. It's like a really broad thing. There's so many different forms of art, different reasons to why people pursue them. I'd probably say like some form of expression made and put into reality by someone else. Just I guess to make someone more happier, to express themselves in a better way to a broader audience, or maybe even just themselves.
All right. Do you think art is honestly, personally, I don't think art is how do I say this? Stuck to the canvas, if that makes sense. Art could be multiple forms, you know. It could be,
Yeah,
you
I
know,
get you.
something you draw, something you animate. But beyond drawing and animating, there's the art of science and the complexity of everything in science. So it becomes kind of like a masterpiece or an art piece, you know?
I think it's like a more it's a, you know, it's something that, you know, it kind of just goes on in your mind, and it's just like, you know, it's just your creativity and your imagination just to the max, and whatever, you know, whatever it is that whatever you know, specified art that you're in, you know, if you're in music, acting, actual art, any of those arts, however you, it's just what you're best at, and then kind of like how Chris said, just how you express yourself and how you put it into reality. It's you simply creating your own reality.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Honestly, art's been a form that's been used since, like, I think the beginning humans. Like, they've been creating things, drawing things, storytelling. All of that is really just art in its different forms. And I believe art could even be seen in the beauty of nature. Art isn't confined to something we create. Art is literally just on
Art
Earth, you
everywhere.
know?
Art is literally, it's the word art is in the word earth.
Earth art. Oh yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yes, yeah.
I feel
So
like you just like pulled that out of your butt or something. Where did you come up with that one?
something I
No, yeah, but it's
heard. I agree.
like I feel like a lot of people just don't realize or recognize
I
how
mean,
far back art just goes into humanity in general. I feel like that's what creates humanity itself.
I think everyone does like has like expresses art in some way. Like, you don't have to, you know, specifically do be doing something, you know, something like, you know, acting, music, and art. You can, I don't know, you can simply do it by, I mean, we are living art,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Like just our whole biology, how we are
How
made in
perfectly made we
general,
are.
like
So like,
every nature itself is the embodiment of art almost. And it's everything around us is could honestly be considered art. It's
and
so
every
it's such a broad of a thing, and just depends on like who's it's it depends on the eye of the beholder, I guess you could say.
and it's interesting how much like it evolves over time, right? It evolves constantly.
It's not just evolves. If you guys look back at like the Renaissance and that stuff, a lot of it started off with art pieces, like a lot of like revolutions and stuff, pamphlets, art pieces. You know, Uncle Sam, a big like symbol for patriotism in America, is like come help Uncle Sam, you know, that's a piece of art. And it's like, a lot of people don't understand how powerful art can be. During the Renaissance, it wasn't just a time of changing the way people think, but it was a time of becoming more creative with art in general. Art was a very big piece of the Renaissance. And so some people just don't really see how like intricate or intricated, or how do you say that word? It's like how intertwined humanity is with art, like how close, like, the correlation between like our lives and art is, and how we're affected by art. A lot of people just see art as like, you get a piece of paper, you draw off a line, and all of a sudden you're famous or something, you know. But like if you really think of it, art kind of brings its own knowledge. Like I said, art is seen in many things beyond just drawings, but like in science and stuff, there's a lot of like, kind of like it's an art within itself, you know what I mean?
I think art applies to like all the human five senses, right? So like sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. It applies to like everything that we're taking in, you know, throughout the entire human experience. Everything we take in and everything we release is art, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all creation, potential creations.
Now, Chris, you're an artist, right? So what's your favorite thing about art? You draw a lot, so what is your favorite thing? Like when you're in like your creative zone and you're drawing, what do you like the most about being in that zone and just drawing a lot?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's just the like the progression, the evolution of what you're making and how far it's changing. Like if I'm like how I mean I don't sketch that much. It's a lot of it is also like 3D modeling and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But where it started for, I mean, I'm pretty sure like every artist really is just like go from one line on a piece of paper and just keep on growing and growing into such like this intricate piece. And then it's many times it's so frustrating, or if like something doesn't add up or it's not just right or something's not symmetrical enough or perfect, but then I feel like that's also a great beauty of it. It's just because how it's almost like a reflection of life, you could say, you know, how it's really
a lot like raising a child, by the way.
And but there's some like pieces of happiness and joy, like oh my god, it's like it's really coming together, it's growing into something great. And it's the best part, the biggest part really is just like the end of it, just the final product, how it all came together. And it's just knowing the story, I guess, behind it, the inspirations behind everything, the people that inspired you, the little things that you saw or whatever, just crossing the street, maybe how far that's inspired you, and all of it put together and how it just blossoms into this amazing creation.
Sounds a lot like taking care of a garden or like raising a child, like some parents say. That sort of really sounds like, it's like I draw occasionally, and it's like really beautiful to like see you put, like to see your final put together of everything after like all the erasers racing and all the restarting and all the different ideas you would go through. When you finally have your finished piece, you feel like a sense of like relief and accomplishment, like you finished what you started, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just such a satisfying thing, is how it's not only just like if it's perfect, because nothing is ever going to be perfect, but throughout your work there's so many mistakes that it's like Bob Ross is like, there's only happy accidents, you know. There's even your mistakes are what makes it so unique, so beautiful, so so amazing. It's part of the actual art, and what it is all the mistakes that you did and this what you did to overcome them, or maybe sometimes it like reveals like a deeper meaning that you didn't even realize, you know.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question, Chris?
Yeah,
do you ever get in music it's called writer's block, but do you ever
oh god don't even yeah, I got it like last night, the day before Jesus Christ.
Well, explain what it is and how you overcome it, or if you even overcome it.
I guess it's like a universal term at this point. It's writer's block. It's like you lose inspiration. You can't conjure up something that you're happy with, or you're just constantly being stuck in a rut. What it feels like, it's like, for example, in music, if you're on writer's block, you're just constantly playing a bunch of notes, but you just can't find the inspiration in it, or you're not motivated enough, or just you can't get the right notes that you want. It's the same thing with like art, with any sort of art or passion. It's basically just getting burnt out of it. So it's like there's nothing right? that I don't think there's really there's no cure for it, I don't feel, but it's a way, there's a way to overcome it, or to just heal or grow out of it. Just
being really good at being like versatile. Like versatility is try to like expand my skill set into other areas. So whenever I can't get creative in one niche, one type of music, I try to try something new, because whenever you're limiting, for example, whenever you're doing your art, you're doing all of these type of like this one specific like Sudan card, right? And instead of that, maybe you could like try something, I don't know, like a truck or something,
Yeah.
I think your passion fuels the cure for your burnout. With anything you do, it's like, if you're passionate about it, eventually, obviously everybody needs breaks, So even if you're passionate about something, whatever you do, even if you don't feel like it drains you, it eventually starts draining you. Unless I think we're writer's block, and even like some athletes who need breaks at times, that's where that comes from. It's like you need that physical or mental break, but your passion automatically drives you to get up and do it the next day or the next week or the next month. I don't think if you truly have the passion for it, you don't really drop it.
It's because some people just don't realize it is when you constantly work, you keep on doing whatever you're doing constantly all the time, and you just don't take enough breaks or good enough breaks to where you're already using so much just of your brain power, your imagination, that you're still just trying to milk it without grabbing from something else, from trying to get new or more inspiration to do something. Because like when you get writer's block, it's basically like you're running off of your own just extra fumes. You're basically like empty out on gas. You just gotta take a break, do something else, and refuel and find something else that like just clicks, that's what happens a lot of times. Is I'm making something, I just can't figure it out, and I get so frustrated, and I forget to just like lay back, take a break or something. I don't know, I can play COD or something, and I realize, who knows, some cool feature on one of the characters, and I was like, let me add a bit of that like style to it. Like probably someone's like all beat down and wore up, or there's a cool skin that has like a nice decals, and I can be like, oh wow, I could use that style and make a livery on this car,
We'll be right back, and sorry to take your train of thought, Chris, but we'll continue it when we come back.
Yeah, no problem.
Chris, you can continue saying what you were saying.
All right, yeah, so it's basically in sum and total, it's all the art, everything's driven off of inspiration. Off of inspiration you find from whatever you see. Like for example, if someone's trying to engineer a the perfect chair. Like you see how there's some really cool videos about like AIs and stuff. They're using AI to make these like chairs that are perfectly sturdy, and but they don't use any excess materials that like a human would do, because there's like flaws in what we do, right? So then it almost looks as if it's from like nature. It's like grown out of a tree or something, just naturally out of its roots or whatever. And I feel like that's a big part of how we also function. It's we start from things like just from nature, and it just grows up and expands from there, and it becomes like your own idea and your own concept through that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I have another question for both of you. And I'll even answer this question myself. Do you guys think the influence of art will continue to hold the world and grow with the world? Or do you think eventually art, science, and the world itself will diverge from each other, and art will have less influence on people in the future?
Now, hold up. Okay. This planet has been around for I don't even know. But I know for a fact that the first few things that were on this planet is, you know, I don't know, like the mountains, the trees, the grass, all of it, all these cool places majority of us haven't even gone to. If it started from the very beginning, then the thought of it created the beginning, then how could it ever end? There's no limit to creativity and imagination. It never stops.
Yeah, I agree. It's like it's insanely difficult to put a cap on it, because no matter what, there's always something that someone thinks of that's never been done before, or probably never even thought before. It's crazy. There's really no escape to like human curiosity, and just like, well, okay, how would something look if you did this, or how would it work, or would this or would other people like this or that? Everyone's always constantly trying to evolve themselves and how they think, and everyone's always coming up with new ideas. Like,
hey, I truly agree. I think as long as the world keeps growing, new art will keep showing, and as long as we keep producing more things and just thinking and becoming a bigger civilization, and even maybe going to space further, galactically going to places, art will continue to evolve, because art doesn't really have a fixed set. It's not, like I said, it's not a canvas. It's not anything it doesn't have a true definition. You can't really put a label on art, because a scientist thinks what he's doing is art, right? Anything he makes or anything he discovers, that's art. It's the beauty, the art of nature, or the art of whatever he made, right? A mathematician, it's the art of like the numbers and how they go together. A writer, it's the art of what he's writing, the story he's telling, the story he's painting, right? Anything, literally. An athlete, it's the art of entertainment. A comedian, also the art of entertainment. An artist, the art of art. And there's so many different genres of art. You've got from anime to realistic art to abstract, so many different cases of art. And it just, I believe that it'll keep evolving, and there's going to be new styles. And if not, then the already old styles are going to keep evolving with humanity as we grow older and we go through hundreds and thousands of years, right? I think the art we already have may not change, but it will be applied to what's going on at that time. I don't think ever there's going to be a time when someone's going to be like, because like the for example, if we're going to talk about like art that's painted, right? The Mona Lisa, that painting is going to be in legend for like ever. Until like it, unless it like burns or like gets ripped or is completely gone or stolen and never found again, that art piece is going in legend. It's like our kids and our kids' kids and our kids, like generations beyond us, are going to continuously learn or should know what the Mona Lisa is, because it's a historical piece of art. You know, it marks a historic time, and like it's very like a strong piece of art. Any science we've learned that hasn't been changed, because science is continuously evolving, right? That's an art kids will learn. Math, art kids will learn. Writing and reading is an art, and anything we've learned so far as humans is an art that will be passed down to the next generation and the next generation and the generation after that, and it will be remembered continuously as the years go on, unless a mass extinction event happens, and that's a whole different story for a whole different podcast.
Speaking of the, like, the whole Mona Lisa thing, are any of you two, are you two familiar with NFTs?
Oh yeah, it's confusing. It's really confusing, but it's definitely an interesting concept.
I think it's definitely the future of, like, specifically NFT art. Basically, what it is, I'm not really sure how to, like, define it in this best way possible, but
I have a good explanation, I guess, at least to my ability. So I actually also recently I looked at a lot of this stuff. So basically, it's what is called is a non-fungible, like, token is what I believe it's called, and it's like with a common way to explain it is with what a fungible currency is, something that's fungible, it can be exchanged for something else, but they both retain the same amount of value. So let's say if I had 20 bucks and my friend had $21, and I was like, okay, I want to exchange my 20 bucks for his $1 bills. So I give him $20, and then he gives me 20 of his singular dollar bills, and they both end up still equating to the same value, same amount. But what NFTs are, it's not exchanged with anything. It's completely unique, and it has its own value itself. There's no trading it out with something else and then coming up with the same value. It always is constantly changing, constantly it's its own current. Each and every art piece that's put on there on the web is original, and it has its own values. It's basically its own form of currency. Like, it's a second USD, it's another euro, it's its own
thing. From what I understood one time was I heard an example, which was say the Mona Lisa, right? There's Mona Lisa original, and there's Mona Lisa thousands and thousands of replicas. So what the NFT is if I sell one of my let's say I sell this digital painting that I made, and I sell it, but I sell the original one. You have the original one. You have rights to the original one. Okay, you can't just, it's not a screenshot or whatever, it's the original one. So back to Mona Lisa thing, if I were to get the NFT itself would be the actual original Mona Lisa, and I could have the original, you know, the first one to be created. So if I have, back to, you know, the art thing, if I have, you know, a little picture that I made on my software, and I sell it as an NFT, that person keeps the original. They, you know, they have rights, you know, of, you know, copyright and all that stuff. They have the actual original one, not like a screenshot that I posted on Instagram or something. That's what I've taken from it, that you get the original one and its value.
Yeah, exactly.
So is it like kind of like getting the original one but like online? Or like, I'm so confused.
Yeah. Digitally. It's a really confusing any digital
creation
thing.
Any digital creation.
Yeah, it's basically a,
so it's kind of like cryptocurrency artwork, but for art.
Yeah, it's like digital Mona Lisa, but it's verified and authenticated. Like, basically your signature is on it, and that's the only one. It's it can't be replaced if it's basically like, if there's someone that posts a screenshot, like he said, it's someone can just say, okay, it's not a valid, that's like a forged signature, it's not valid, and it's not real, it's doesn't count, so it won't sell for the same amount of money, it doesn't retain it the same value, it can't be exchanged with the authentic original piece.
So yeah, so I think, like, kind of like what back to he had asked in the beginning, you know, the question about how we would, you know, impact the future. I think this, you know, maybe part of the whole art thing, but through technology wise, NFTs are I think definitely the future of digital art, for sure.
Yeah. There's a large thing about how it's like bad for the environment. Blah blah blah. I'm not like entirely educated on it, but either way, if it's bad for the environment, it's still at least it's some sort of hope for artists in the future that they can work on their own dime and
opportunity
and stuff. It creates a good opportunity, because even though it might be bad for the environment or whatever right now, it could evolve and become better and better, and we won't have to rely on that type of stuff. It's not going to be, it can be like more perfected over time, but it gives a lot of hope to, let's say, like people like me that like to create art and they just want to make a living out of it.
Yeah. What, how about this? When was like the first time you saw something, and like, you know, when, how, like, how would you describe the moment when you first saw something? So like, you know, whatever it was, anything, you know, that had to do with art, whatever. Like, how would you describe like the first time you like saw something and you were like, okay, I want to like this is crazy cool. Like, I want to like it inspired you, you know, I want to replicate this. I'm going to do something like this.
I think we've all had that since we were younger.
Yeah.
So like seeing that, like, dude, as soon as I saw, like, first time I went hiking and I saw like over a cliff and all the forest and wildlife. Oh my God. I was hooked, man. I was like, this is beautiful. This is like, this is like pure art and it's at its like purest form. And it was just, I think we've all had that awe moment all our lives, you know?
I feel like that's something that like forges us when we, like, as we get older, it's something that stays with us for sure. Yeah. I don't know, but the answer to the question, when I think about it, it's really funny because it has nothing to do with, at all, with like what I am right now. But when I was a little baby, I think maybe it was like G.I. Joe or something, and I saw ninjas for the first time. I was so hooked. I was fascinated, and almost every other day I'd make this little paper cutout of a cute little ninja. And then like over time, like as I got older, I just made more things, like a ninja set out of paper. It was like origami, but like on steroids. I'd make a full sword, like a out of paper, and I reinforced it with electric tape, and like the same thing with holster. And then every other week I'd run out of electric tape, and my dad would be pissed at me because we needed that, because we had like a construction company, everything, and we were renovating the house and we needed stuff like that. They just kept using all the electric tape. But yeah, it's, and another thing, I feel like it's also, like I said, it stays with us for like, right, for the rest of our lives. Since the first time I saw, I played a racing game, like maybe it was Need for Speed or Gran Turismo or whatever it was, I was so hooked on cars, and it just stuck with me, even though I didn't really realize until I was, I don't know, in high school, almost, like I think like 7th or 8th grade, I really, really got hooked on cars. And then when I look back, it was since I was, like, since I was born, I always went to car shows, and to this day, that's just everything I dream of. Like, I just dream of being the best technician or whatever in the world, and fabricator for anything that has to do with cars. It's just everything that, it just spiraled on and on and on, and I can only imagine like what Henry Ford, just I can only imagine what he would think of if he came back to this day and he saw like something that he poured his heart into, his passion and his original art basically. I can only imagine how he would feel if he saw the crazy stuff that we have now. Just people, it's crazy to think of like something that someone from thousands or hundreds, whatever amount of years ago, it's still stuck with us today, and people are still so passionate about it, and it creates such a big community and a whole line of and chain of events to happen.
Yeah, I got a question. You know, as we're nearing the end of this, but I'm gonna each one of you, give me like 30 second response. You can go first, Chris, and then you go, and then I'll go. But the question is, do you think art is talent or skill?
100% skill. I mean, probably like just a lot of it is talent, but you gotta realize that everyone, when they're a baby, they suck at drawing. They suck at everything that they do. Of course, a lot of it is talent, like people have a gift or knack for something, but if you go to my first drawings or something, I sucked so bad. And now I'm like making photorealistic renders of race cars with full liveries and everything on in 3D, like it's cinema quality. It's 100, like all of it is skill. And
okay,
basically like a lot of people don't know about this, so I'm gonna just clarify, I guess talent is something you're born with, it's a gift, right? But skill is something you really build up, something that grows over time of just hard work and dedication. So to me all of it is skill. It's all skill
for me,
and anyone can grow it.
For me, it's neither.
30 seconds and then I'll go. Okay, go.
For me, it's definitely neither. I don't think you need skill or talent. Like I said, art doesn't have borders, so you don't technically need to be drawing at all. You can be doing math or science, and even if you suck at those, just being you yourself are a work of art, so your personality is art. I don't think you really need skill or talent. I mean, if you really want to get into like realistic art, like Chris does and stuff like that, you can really get the skill and work hard, but art's all around you. If you threw a rock on the ground and like made like a really cool sharp like edge or something like that, and like you kept carving on the ground and you made like a circle with like spikes, that's art. If you, regardless of how sucky people are gonna think it is, that's your art. You like that, you made that. When you doodle on your page, that's art. So I don't really think you need skill or talent. It's more just like, if you can express your imagination and your mind, you're making art, you know?
Yeah. That's an interesting way to see it. Like I agree, yeah. But I feel like it's also something that is someone's passion, something that you like dedicate yourself to, you know. So of course, if you're dedicated to something, then you keep doing it and you build up that skill. So that's at least how I think of it. Yeah.
All right. What about you, Second House? What do you think?
I think I don't know. I'm really purpose driven person. I do believe all of us have a reason to be here, and so
yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know, like there's purpose and talent, and then there's potential and skill. So instead of calling it like skill and talent, it's purpose and potential. And then because if you think about it, I mean, the odds of us being born, I read this somewhere, the odds of us being born are like 1 in 400 trillion. So it's no coincidence that you just, you know, you happen to still be alive every moment that has happened before now, before the present, is like, you know, you're still alive. So, I mean, to be like still alive, it means that there's still something you have to do, right? And whether it's something you're going to like build, or it's something that you've already had and you need to grow. I don't know. I think I'm just, what I'm trying to say is that it's been there, and when the time comes, your purpose grows into potential and more potential and more potential, and it just constantly grows. So yeah, I mean, I don't really think it's like talent or skill. I think rephrase it as talent being purpose, something that is supposed to happen, something that's already scripted in your journey. And then the skill part is simply the potential in the purpose. When it comes to the point where you like, where like let's say you're a football player, and then comes a point where you start you start practicing it a lot, you did it for a reason, and you're getting good at it for a reason, right? So that's where I say that's the potential. Once you start seeing constant growth in something specific, then that's the potential part of it. And once you reach an endpoint where you're so satisfied and you're constantly like, you know, succeeding at this, then that's the purpose point, you know? That's kind of like it was things that were supposed to happen.
All right. I love the conversation today. Obviously, I didn't speak too much because I loved it. I was just listening. I was really intrigued. For all our viewers, expect more interviews this coming second season. Expect some really big stuff from some really big people. As always, keep imagining, keep creating, and we'll see y'all on the next.